You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Is an atrocity that we have a president of the United States that is not securing the border, and he's violating the laws passed by Congress to secure the border. Then on top of that, we have a president who is turning a blind eye to a security-based issue by allowing people on the terrorist watch list to come into the United States of America, and those were the ones who were apprehended. Think about all the gotaways that were not apprehended because the Border Patrol, they were attending to the people that they were doing paper processing for. So what the president is doing is outrageous, and as a result, Texas is taking unprecedented action.
That is Texas Governor Greg Abbott talking about busing illegals from the border to D.C., and he said, if we fill up D.C., well, Delaware's another great state. We'll take them there. The White House and Jen Psaki have said it's nothing but a publicity stunt. And there's a surprising voice on the conservative media side suggesting it's also not much more than a stunt. Thanks for joining us. This is April the 19th, 2022. We are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com. And then on the search engine, when it asks where you want to go, simply put in Larry Connors, USA, all one word. One word, it'll take you to previous programs. You go down those, and you should see a place where it says live. Push that one and join us in studio. Glad to have you on board. We continue to pick up more and more numbers there because a lot of folks had followed us on YouTube until YouTube booted us off, and they're gradually finding out we've moved to Rumble. Spread the word. Share with others. It's always nice to do that. And we're trying to figure out how to take some of the YouTube material because it's still up there. YouTube banning us from live streaming, but they're not taking everything down. And we're trying to migrate it over to Rumble before they do anything with it. So we'll try to carry those over for you. This issue about the border is still a major security issue. It's not just a press upon the southern states and the communities where all the illegals show up, trying to meet their needs and take care of them, because we are a humane people. But it's a national security threat. We have millions coming in. We do not know who they are, for the most part. We don't really know their origin, nor their motives. 90% plus may be simply wanting to come here and have a better life. I understand that. We are a beacon on the hill. But we can't take everybody in the world in. And we have immigration policies. We should have, anyway. But the Biden administration, under the direction of the green pie-in-the-sky progressives, wants everything to change. They want to radically transform our nation. They want to radically transform education, shoving sex education into the face of 2- and 3-year-olds. They're not ready for that. Should you wait until their last year of high school? No, probably not. But at what point? Let the parents have a say in it. Then we can make some decisions. We also are going to have today the latest version of, if you're trying to decide what's going on with the Durham report, how it's getting bigger and bigger, and it looks like the dam is going to break any day. Now, it may or may not, but it's certainly gaining more steam. It takes a while to put these things together. I know many conservatives want to see something immediately. You can't do that immediately, not if you're going to do it right. And then, of course, we also have the judge making a decision. The CDC can no longer mandate masks on an airplane or any public transportation. It does not have the authority. And yet the White House is basically saying, we're going to fight that. Well, wait a minute. The airlines themselves have said, you don't need to wear it on an airplane. We've got great filter systems. It's another political tool to use against you, to hold against you. And we got some colleges and cities that are still going to go ahead and do it. And then we have the story of the, from Texas, the Easter bunny that was handing out Easter eggs to children. Oh, they were so happy, these little grade school kids. They all got these plastic Easter eggs. And inside them, condoms. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It sounds like the CIA walked away from it like a hot potato, saying this is worthless. And remember, there's already been pleadings in this case, in Sussman's case, that identify the actual technological workers themselves, the researchers, as saying this is a really, really thin thing that we could never support if technologically savvy people challenged our conclusion. So it's a little bit of a rabbit hole for Sussman's trial, but it continues to let us look back to the period around 2015 and 16 and wonder how politicized law enforcement was, particularly the FBI leadership.
And that is the big question. And not just a question, but a real indictment. You can expect politicians to play dirty on either or both sides. I expect my government to be down the middle and not being weaponized by either party. By either party. That was a former federal prosecutor, Jim Trusty, talking about that the Durham report continues to show various pieces of information that raise some very serious questions. Remember the wording I gave you yesterday that had come out of the Durham report, some of the new briefs filed, showing basically that the CIA knew, that the CIA knew in 2017 that the Trump-Russia collusion, quote, was not plausible. In other words, it was a lie, couldn't have happened. And the second part was that it was created. In other words, someone fabricated it. They just made it up. A pipe dream. Maybe a Hunter Biden crack pipe at that. I have no idea. But the bottom line is the questions that we've all had are now getting some answers. I don't know if we're going to get all of them. I don't know how many indictments we're going to see before it's over with. I don't know who's going to be charged, who's not. I know in my own mind who I think should be charged, but I wouldn't count on it. But some of these new filings in this Spygate case, that there were last Friday is when all of this stuff got released. And, of course, most of it had to deal with what was surrounding Hillary Clinton's campaign attorney, Michael Sussman. The exhibits, the memorandums, all presented to the court and showing that Sussman broke the law because he lied to then-FBI General Counsel James Baker when he showed Baker information that reportedly indicated Trump had a secret communications channel with Russia through a bank, the Alpha Bank. Now, Sussman was able to say, and did for a long time, I was not working for anybody. I went to the FBI and told them, I'm doing this out of the good and the security and the concern of my nation. I'm not doing it for anyone else. He said that, and then also tried to walk around it. But then the emails surfaced. And the emails clearly have him stating, I'm doing this on my own. I'm not working for any campaign. When in fact the records and everything else prove that he was working with the Hillary Clinton campaign, he and his partner, and also the Democrat National Committee. But the phone call and the text that came from the phone call that he had made with General Counsel FBI, then General Counsel James Baker. Jim, it's Michael Sussman. I have something sensitive, and I need to discuss. It's time sensitive. Do you have availability for a short meeting tomorrow? I'm coming on my own, not on behalf of a client or a company. I just want to help the FBI. Thanks. You wanted to go get an FBI badge or something? You could have gotten that in a Cracker Jack box the way it's been handled lately. And I'm sorry to say that, to be quite honest. I have a lot of friends in the FBI, past and present, and others going into the FBI. And I admire the agency as a whole and the men and women in there who do the proper job. But inside, you've got a lot of rats. They need to be extinguished. But the same lie was also conveyed in writing because Sussman then put it into an email. Now, the other things that have come out, obviously, get into who else might be involved in all of this. Going after Sussman is just the first part. We now know that members of Hillary Clinton's staff, at least four or five of them already, have decided to plead the Fifth Amendment. That's a constitutional right. You can say, well, that proves they're guilty, but that's wrong if you do that. They have a constitutional right to plead the Fifth Amendment, to not say anything that might be incriminating against them. And as much as I might have a distaste and believe that they are guilty of something, they have that right. That's part of our Constitution. I'm never going to break the Constitution just for somebody like that, for any part. Just don't make a prejudgment that, well, they must be guilty. For the same reason that a person doesn't have to take the witness stand if they don't want to. That does not make them guilty because they don't go on the witness stand. Maybe the attorneys decided that if they went on the stand, they'd botch the case, or they might say something they shouldn't, or they just wouldn't make a good witness, and they would not be, how would you say, acceptable to the jury and find favor with them and really relate to them. They might come off a little harsh and indifferent and maybe aloof, and so they just don't want them on the stand. And that's then decided by the attorneys for whoever's involved. But some of these special counsel filings the other day, Sussman was claiming that as part of the hoax, Trump's enemies were surveying the internet traffic at Trump Tower, his New York City apartment building, a Michigan business, and later the executive office of the President of the United States, and that Sussman provided that data to the CIA, telling agents there were suspicious lookups of the internet protocol or IP address affiliated with a Russian mobile phone number. Do you remember when Donald Trump was saying, "I'm being spied on"? You may or may not have laughed at it. You may have bought into it fully, and some of us just might have had, it's possible, but really? Come on. But when I told you the CIA knew in 2017 this was all made up, it was not plausible, as Durham is now saying, and that basically did not meet the smell test, as you might say. And yet the head of the CIA would go on with the networks in the evening, the favorable, mainstream, loving networks, so we're never going to ask a tough question. And while he couldn't really get into details of what he had said behind closed doors and what else was going on, he could give you the attitude and the opinion that this is bad. This is really, really bad. And Trump is right in the center of it. But I can't give you any more than that. And then when we finally got transcripts of those meetings released from the grand jury, every one of those intel guys that were on TV talking about how bad it was going to be for Trump basically were saying, "I don't know nothing. I know nothing." They weren't going to lie and commit perjury in front of a committee or an investigators, but to the general public, so be it. One of the exhibits that they presented the other day was a cell phone that was reportedly close to Trump during the Trump Tower network. Also suffered at Wi-Fi, used as surfaced, I should say, at Wi-Fi's when Trump traveled to Michigan. It was part of the Wi-Fi that was connecting to him. There's another person who might be getting immunity. This would be the tech researcher, David Dagan. That's the third part of the news that came out of the filing last Friday, that this Georgia Tech researcher, David Dagan, quote, "the only witness currently immunized by the government, was conferred with that status on July 28, 2021. In other words, way back last summer. And said because of other reasons, at least five other witnesses who conducted work relating to these allegations have invoked their right against discrimination, taking the fifth. Again, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but as you see these layers of this onion begin to unpeel, it's not just your eyes watering. Your eyes are getting bigger and bigger, and you're thinking, my God, just how big is this? Well, to that extent, you can go to former federal prosecutor Jim Trusty. He had the same idea.
This is really a historical scandal. I mean, it's one that you and I have been talking about a lot, had a bit of a media blackout everywhere else, and I'm glad it's finally getting some traction and people care about it. And this trial is probably going to shed some light. You know, the Sussman trial's in mid-May. We might see some of this information about the Clinton campaign and law enforcement corruption, kind of the deep state that everyone mocks, seems to be a real thing.
Yeah. When Trump and Trump supporters talk about the deep state, some folks say, are calling it the swamp? Come on, come on. But I think most of us, and even Democrats, would acknowledge there's a deep state existence, the swamp. You've got federal employees who have been there for decades, and they know a lot of things. They see things. They share things. Some of them are, quote, maybe just minions. They're simply carrying out orders to someone else. Or maybe they don't have access to really, really important data, but they are all part of the bureaucracy. and it's made them a good living, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need federal workers to carry out various jobs. What we do not need is federal workers, especially those on the investigative level, be it with the FBI, CIA, or whatever, being weaponized against U.S. citizens. And to that point, the CIA has no damn business spying on U.S. citizens. Unless they have some link to some terrorist organization. That's as clear as it can be. The FBI might carry out such things, and they are entitled to investigate you, but the CIA is not supposed to be dealing with U.S. citizens. So when the CIA in the Durham report apparently admitted in 2017, as Durham was suggesting the other day, that the Trump-Russia collusion story, in Durham's words, was not plausible, and also added that it was created. I told you the other day when that story began to break that this is going to be really big because this is the top layer of the Russian collusion investigation. How deep down does it go? And somewhere in there, you may also find the Hunter Biden laptop. Now, I'm not saying you will, but you might well. And, of course, then that's going to lead us to Joe Biden. By the way, Joe Biden has made an announcement today. Well, not publicly. But according to sources, he told former President Barack Obama what he's going to do in 2024. You don't want to miss this one. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And as I've told you, we are live streaming on Rumble. You simply go to rumble.com, as I have here on my phone. Enter in on the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word. And there we are, live. So you're welcome to join us here in studio. Now, I mentioned that Joe Biden made a statement, or at least supposedly has made a statement to Barack Obama. The news is coming from a reporter for The Hill, quoting a source, that Biden has told Obama, "I plan to run for re-election in 2024. Happy times are here again. Oh, that would be great." I don't know if he'll remember that he said that tomorrow, but apparently, according to one source, he has told Obama, "I'm going to do it." Why? Well, according to the conversation of the source to The Hill, Biden wants to run. He's clearly letting everyone know. He believes he's the only candidate who can beat former President Trump in a hypothetical rematch between the two of them. Kamala Harris not looking so strong anyway. Who else is in the lineup? Well, there's talk about some businessmen are asking Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, although he's been siding with Republicans more, to run. It would be certainly more moderate than even Joe has tried to be off and on, depending on what day you find him. But there's some issues he's going to have to overcome. Our open borders, which the Democrats, the progressives, have said this is the way our country should be. We shouldn't have any border, at least on a southern border. I don't know about how worried we are about Canadians coming in. But Biden won the Hispanic vote in 2020 by 59%, according to Pew Research. 59%. That's big. And yet, Quinnipiac just this month showing his job approval rating dropping to 28%. I say this month. I think this survey is from last month. And then secondly, the straw arguments in the media, as according to the Hill article here states, bind the Latino vote to immigration and equate border security with racism. But the polls don't back that up. A 2020 Pew research found that Hispanics rank immigration eighth in all of their importance. Eighth. Those are the Hispanics already in the U.S. And most U.S. Hispanics' views on immigration are opposite of what we hear on TV from the state-controlled media. And another Quinnipiac poll showing Hispanics giving Biden just a 23% approval on immigration. 23% versus 49% last May. In other words, those numbers are slip-sliding away. And apparently the progressive push for late-term abortions, that's also offensive and repulsive to most Latinos because they are Catholic. So is Joe Biden. And he was against abortion before he was for it so he could sit in the Oval Office. That's how he sold his soul out. And then the black issue. The murders across the board of black Americans. In 2019, 7,400 plus black Americans were murdered. That number shot up to 9,900 plus in 2020, an increase of almost 2,500 black Americans murdered over the previous year. And the number of black murders also higher than white murders in 2020. The FBI shows 7,000 white people murdered that year. In other words, about 3,000 more blacks were killed compared to whites. No, they were not killed by cops. Not all that number were killed by cops, nor were they killed by whites. They were often killed black-on-black crime, which even the New York City mayor, who used to be a police chief, has admitted we've got to acknowledge that happens. Same thing with Al Sharpton, believe him or not, that he actually understands that you start talking about defunding police, you're talking about leaving poor black communities unprotected. And you lose me at that point. Not going to be an easy run for any Democrat. They don't have anything good going for them. But we got some news coming out yesterday. And wait till you hear how it got announced on an air flight yesterday. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
April 18th, the Biden administration announced that the Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and onboard aircraft.
Hey, don't have to wear a mask on a plane. That's right. A federal judge in Florida declaring Joe Biden's sweeping federal travel mask mandate null and void. The judge determining the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grossly exceeded its power by muzzling Americans for more than a year. U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mazel ruling the mandate exceeded the CDC's statutory authority, improperly invoked the good cause exception to notice and comment rulemaking, and failed to adequately explain its decisions. You know why? Because they said, we don't have to explain nothing. We're the CDC. And we're the government. And we can make that determination. But look at the timing. See, this is one of the things that, again, reinforces the lie behind much of the COVID story. I'm not going to say it's not dangerous. There are people that have died from it. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't get a vaccination if you think you want or need one. The problem comes is when the government starts mandating things when they're not really operating with medical science. They're dealing with political science, and they know it. The White House had already previously announced that it was going to have Title 42 that's going to keep illegals from coming into the U.S. on the basis that we have a pandemic in the country that Trump used and Biden had used, but Biden wanted to get rid of it and said it was going to drop May 23rd. And well, lo and behold, the White House makes that proclamation. The CDC comes out a couple days later and says, we're going to drop it May 23rd. How about that? You couldn't roll the dice and come up with that number at the same time. Interesting enough, are the airlines that are stating that you will no longer have to wear the mask, and that's all major carriers. I mean, that's a ruling. They're also saying it's optional. So there will be some people that may still want to wear a mask. And what they're encouraging you, and I would as well, don't mock them. Don't make any noise about it. Just go about your business. Let them do their thing. There were years, and I'm talking about, maybe 15-plus years ago, when the avian bird flu and others were around, I'd be playing in some poker tournaments, and they'd be usually Asians that from that part of the world would often be wearing a mask. Well, that's strange. That's what they want to do, up to them. And, of course, then lately, then everybody had to wear it, and a lot of things got shut down. And you were restricted on what you can do. And a lot of folks did not want to go on planes anymore until they could not be forced to wear a mask. If you want it, fine. But don't mock somebody. Don't go there with them. Don't even get in an argument. Don't laugh at them. Don't sneer at them. And nor should they be mocking or making remarks about you because you're not wearing a mask. And simply say, let them take it up with the captain of the plane, because that's normally the one who would decide, all right, take that person off, they're causing trouble. The CDC justified its rule by making it by claiming that mask blocked exhaled virus. But the CEOs of the airlines testified before members of Congress, we have filtration systems on board circulating the air at such a rapid rate that it's better not to have a mask on. That's the last place you need a mask, is on a plane. Well, of course, when the news broke, the question got raised in a news conference to Jen Psaki, White House spokeswoman.
First, a federal judge in Florida says the CDC exceeded its authority with the mask mandate in airports. What's the White House position?
The CDC recommended continuing the order for additional time, 2 weeks, to be able to assess the latest science in keeping with its responsibility to protect the American people. So this is obviously a disappointing decision. The CDC continues recommending wearing a mask in public transit. As you know, this just came out this afternoon. So right now, the Department of Homeland Security, who would be implementing, and the CDC are reviewing the decision. And, of course, the Department of Justice would make any determinations about litigation.
In other words, we may sue to put the mask back on you. And she says the CDC's doing it. They need a couple more weeks to decide what the science is. In 2 weeks, you're suddenly going to decide? And you want to tell me, you're talking about the Homeland Security Department, about the concern about masks, when we have hundreds of thousands coming across the border without a mask on, and you let them into the country that way? Well, there was another reporter raised, a typical type question, because if you're sitting around somewhere and you're watching this story kind of halfway paying attention on TV, and it comes across and you see the headline, they stream across, and you're not even sure what they're saying because it's not captioned, and you're not saying, but you could get the idea. One reporter kind of raised a similar question.
I want to belabor this only because we've heard from the airlines, from airport passengers, There may be people sitting in an airport bar watching right now wondering, if they're boarding a flight tonight, is the mask mandate still in place?
We're continuing to recommend people wear masks. I don't have any update. This just came out through the courts just this afternoon. And as soon as there is an update, we will provide that to all.
Is the White House anticipating an announcement by Homeland Security tonight?
They are assessing it right now, and as soon as they have an assessment and an update on additional steps, they'll make that available.
But if the DOJ, say, doesn't stay the order tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, are passengers...
I understand why you're asking, and certainly no one here is trying to provoke uncertainty with passengers. We also think the mask mandate should be in place and that it's safer for individuals who are flying to continue to wear masks. So we would say to anyone sitting out there, we'd recommend you wear masks on the airplane.
And yet the CEOs testified, we've got a better filtration system than you probably do standing there in the White House press conference room. I want to share an article from CNN, an opinion piece. This is a physician, infection control expert, identified as Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And he said, once again, the shifting winds of the COVID-19 pandemic have placed the U.S. CDC in a pickle. Last month, in the good old days, after the original Omicron variant had settled, the agency indicated on April 18th it would reevaluate mask-wearing mandates on planes, trains, and other transportation. But soon afterwards, cases began to go up. Omicron BA2 began to show up. So the CDC wisely chose to extend for an additional 2 weeks. But then Monday, a federal judge overturned the Biden administration. And he says, in the normal course of human affairs, a CDC extension shouldn't have been a controversial decision. And for example, he said, if a new blizzard is forecast just as we cleaned up for the last one, public opinion doesn't rally around the idea of ignoring expert advice. The hell they don't. They constantly say, how can you have a job as a weathercaster and be wrong that many times? Now, I know weathercasters that have a lot of good friends are. The problem for most of the audience is, say, it's going to rain all day long and you can't plan your outdoor party and it's bright and sunny where you are. But I will tell you, 5 miles away, they can't even get on the golf courses that bad. So it's pretty hard. They have to cover a wide area. But here's this doctor again, is highlighting, he says, heightening the emotion around mask is a different situation. Air travel is a microcosm of community life. We're all in this together. Then stay off the damn plane. Many have stayed off because they didn't want to wear the mask. Now, if we're going to be allowed to wear the mask, you can still wear your mask, or you can stay off the plane. He says, the facts clearly demonstrate the prudence of delaying the end of the mask mandate. Why? For 2 weeks? The prudence will indicate in 2 weeks we'll know better than we do today? Really? And then we have... That's a doctor in his opinion piece for CNN. You write something like that, they will publish it for you, believe me. I ought to do that sometime. Pose as a doctor. Play one on TV occasionally or on radio and write in a column like that and see if I can get it published. And meanwhile, Philadelphia residents and visitors have to wear a mask in indoor public spaces, marking the first day of return of the rule yesterday. Yeah, the same day TSA was told, you cannot enforce that rule. Philadelphia residents, again, are told you got to mask up. University of Connecticut, one of the latest to also bring back forced masking. They fear there might be an increase. So you're going to come down with a cold and the sniffles and so forth. Is that not life? I mean, really, do you want to live life bottled up like that forever? For some people, yes, for your immunity and issue. But that's a decision between you and your doctor, and then your decision. And you're responsible. Don't be blaming on anybody else one way or the other. Now, how do we blame about the Easter Bunny giving out Easter eggs filled with condoms? Stand by. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location. Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone, I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Austin Independent School District is reevaluating some safety protocols. It's after a parent dressed up as the Easter Bunny and was reportedly handing out Easter eggs on Gillette Elementary School's campus. Some of those eggs contained candy, but others contained unopened condoms. It's according to a letter sent to the Gillette families. The district told us the parent was asked to leave, but then moved to a public sidewalk and continued to give out those eggs. Gillette Elementary School Principal Tammy Thompson said the event was not planned nor sanctioned by the school.
But it happened anyway. That's out of Texas. Now, let me break this down. You got a parent dressed as an Easter bunny showing up at a Texas elementary school, handing out Easter eggs for kids during a school pickup time when kids are being picked up, I guess. And apparently there were some prophylactics inside some of the plastic eggs, and others had candy. At some point, she had to know that by the time the kids opened it up, wouldn't you think? You want to give her the benefit of the doubt? Okay, let's do that. She was asked to leave the school premises. Why? Well, because obviously folks begin to realize you got condoms inside these eggs. You're getting grade school kids. So she had to know then, right? Oh, you want to give her more benefit? Okay. So turns out that she is a pharmacist herself. She's taking part in a safe sex clinic while dressed as a bunny rabbit, and she had a bunch of Easter eggs filled with condoms that were going to be handed out there. Well, she went to the school first to hand out eggs and ran out of the eggs. But I told you already there were complaints, so they were already being opened. They knew what was in them. She called her husband, and she says he brought the wrong eggs. Put the blame on him, huh? That's what she's doing. The Easter Bunny blaming the other guy. And see, it was all just a big misunderstanding. Was it really? You think the Easter Bunny would lie? Don't even bother answering that. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was doing a podcast the other day, and she broke down in what they are calling crocodile tears, in my opinion. You know what crocodile tears are? It's a superficial sympathy. It's actually described from an ancient belief that crocodiles cry while they're eating their prey because they're so sorrowful that they're eating you. But scientists said, no, they're out of the water very long. They have tear ducts and they gives moisture to their eyes and helps. Or they come out of the water and they look like they've been crying up to that point. So it's crocodile tears. They don't really mean anything. But Jen Psaki is doing this podcast, and she's talking about the Don't Say Gay bill, which is not in Florida, but they still like to call it that. And she said, I'm going to get emotional about this issue. It's horrible. I could have let her do her thing, but I can do crocodile tears too. Just watch me. You're watching a Rumble. You may see crocodile tears. Watch out here. Or maybe they're tears of laughter. She said, this is an issue that makes me completely crazy. They're denying classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity with children in third grade or younger or in a manner that's not age appropriate. She's acknowledging that's what's in it, but she says this is a political wedge issue to win the culture war and a war in a way that is harsh and cruel to kids. It's like kids are being bullied and all these federal government Republicans are taking steps to hurt them and their families. Just breaking down in tears. She said the bill, she repeated what Biden said about it. It's hateful. And she was crying. Crocodile tears. Are you watching? If you're watching right now on Rumble.com, do you see that I'm smiling or frowning or crying or My voice belies me. I do know that. The DeSantis press secretary said that Saski's podcast appearance and her remarkable ability to bring tears and emotion while acknowledging that the bill does include that you can't teach children that young about gender identity and sex transition or sex in general, that for some reason that was hateful and denying things. Give me a break. If you are watching and you're not, well, here's how. I go to rumble.com, enter in one word in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word. You'll see a full list of programs we've had on previously, and you'll see where one is marked as live. Push that one. If you're watching right now, you could probably tell. How many of you watching know what this piece is right here that's on that I'm pointing to? Can you identify what that is? Do you know what that is? I think many of you will. There will be some who don't. What about this one or this one over here? These have particular interest to me. And I think for many of you, as does this one. And, of course, you can't help but notice behind me, if you're watching live, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But can you identify those things I just pointed out? Send me a text. Let me know. Coming up in the next hour after news and commentary, how many terrorists are already in the country because Biden opened the door and said, come on in.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.